You're listening to Vaccination on ReachMD, and this episode is sponsored by CSL Securus. Here's your host, Dr. Charles Turk.
Welcome to Vaccination on ReachMD. I'm Dr. Charles Turk, and joining me to share strategies for dispelling common myths about the influenza vaccine is Dr. Mirella Salvatore. She's an infectious disease specialist and fellow of the Infectious Diseases Society of America. She recently left Weill Cornell Medicine, where she was an associate professor of medicine, to become medical director in the Community Healthcare Network Clinics. Dr. Salvatore, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, to set the stage here, Dr. Salvatore, why do you think the flu vaccine continues to face so much pushback despite longstanding efficacy and safety data?
I really believe that there are two main reasons. One is that misunderstanding about flu, what the flu is, because during the winter, there are circulating many viruses, including very mild viruses, the garden coronaviruses, the rhinoviruses. They give a mild disease. And so people don't know what is influenza and what is a mild disease. And, you know, very often you don't do a swab to diagnose rhinovirus. And so this fact, in association with the fact that sometimes when you get a flu vaccination, you might have a mild fever or pain in your arm or some mild distress that people think is the flu. So many people might get to the conclusion why I am taking a vaccine to prevent the flu that is mild anyway, if I'm getting some flu from the vaccine itself. So it's a kind of round thinking that brings to the conclusion, flu is mild, vaccine can give side effect, I don't need a vaccine, I will work out the flu with my body.
Now, with that in mind, let's dig into a few myths we commonly hear. One common one is, I got sick from the flu shot. Would you walk us through what's really going on biologically when the vaccine is administered and how it has an impact on patients' perceptions?
We know that the influenza vaccine, generally speaking, is made with inactivated virus. It means that it's killed vaccine that or purified the killed vaccine that are injected in the body to create an immune response. And so they will protect us against influenza. However, when the body responds, there is a lot of inflammation as a part of this response. There might be this inflammatory response, they might have some fever, some pain in the site of infection, that are those very mild side effects, and not everybody experiences them. But as part of the response to the flu, is your body that is responding to the influenza is not the body that is succumbing to the disease itself. So in this respect, what happened is part of the normal response to the vaccine, is not definitely the flu. Also in vaccine, we know that individuals 65 and older have a lower immune system that doesn't work so well. So there are strategies to increase the immune responses that include having higher dose of the vaccine, having up to 4 times the dose of the vaccine itself to improve the response, or having something that is called an adjuvant. That is molecule that increase the inflammation so that you get a better response. So in this way, this adjuvant can increase also together with the response. You can have some little irritation in the site of injection. You can have a response that is definitely not the flu, but it's part of the inflammation to fight the flu.
Now, another sticking point is efficacy. Some patients hear that flu vaccines change every year, and they may get the idea that these flu vaccines only offer partial protection. How might we respond to concerns related to the vaccine not being fully effective?
While COVID vaccine, we knew that were effective in 99% of the population in preventing disease. We know that in the case of the flu, when is a good year, we have like 70-75% protection from infection. And this is for many reasons. First of all, a flu vaccine is a vaccine that contains a protection against three different types of flu, because one disappeared after COVID. Three different types of flu. Experts will have to predict which flu is to be in the vaccine just based on sequencing data. So it's like they study all the viruses that were around and they come up with a recipe. And sometimes this might not be 100% correct. However, we have to say that even when it's not 100% effective to protect you from infection, flu vaccine will decrease the severity of the disease through other type of immunity to the disease itself. And we have to remember that influenza is not only cause the disease itself, so the runny nose, the joint pain, but also it's really important to remember that influenza will worsen the underlying disease. If someone has diabetes, if someone has asthma, if someone has a cardiovascular disease, influenza will worsen also those conditions. And therefore, we are not only preventing influenza, but also preventing the complication by getting vaccinated.
And given worries about vaccine ingredients, particularly thimerosal, also come up in conversations, what should we know about the presence of thimerosal in available vaccines? And how can we reassure our patients or their parents or caregivers who are concerned about safety?
So first of all, let me frame what thimerosal is. So thimerosal is a preservative. It was added in the vaccine as a preservative and is a derivative of mercury. We know that mercury is all over, and actually the thimerosal is a type of mercury that is called ethyl mercury that does not accumulate. It gets eliminated by the body, and this differs from methyl mercury that is in the fish that instead accumulates. In addition of this mercury, this thimerosal was only in the multi-dose vaccine to preserve in case you have to inject the vial 5 times to distribute the vaccine to different people. And in 2001, CDC has extra safety, not because there were evidence. Again, there are no evidence that show that thimerosal caused harm to people, but already in that time, it was taken out of all the single-dose vaccine. So flu vaccine already in single dose, they did not contain thimerosal. So the vaccine that people were getting in at their doctor office or wherever else did not contain thimerosal, only the multi-dose vials. However, the latest ACIP recommendation said that only single-dose vials, so thimerosal-free, should be used. So everybody this year will receive the vaccine. Probably like 99% of people last year as well will receive thimerosal-free vaccine. So this concern is not a concern that should prevent people from getting the vaccine.
For those just tuning in, you're listening to Vaccination on ReachMD. I'm Dr. Charles Turk, and I'm speaking with Dr. Mirella Salvatore about practical ways to address misinformation about the flu vaccine. So, Dr. Salvatore, now that we've discussed some common myths, let's think big picture for a moment. When we're talking to a patient who refuses a flu shot for broader, more ideological reasons, what communication strategies can help keep the door open for future change?
I think that, you know, there are always, you know, two types of vaccine refusal. So there are some patients, I mean, we as a patient, as a parent, we are always concerned of medications. And so there is a part that of population or patients that want really to know about vaccine, about thimerosal, because there is a lot of misinformation in around. So we really need to keep informing and sending the right message and why the flu vaccine, how the flu vaccine is done and why it's beneficial. And so, you know, many of people that have concern because of don't know. For example, the pregnant woman, a pregnant is always scared about hurting the baby, but actually the flu vaccine in pregnancy prevents flu in the baby. So clearly in that case, you know, vaccine refusal may just mean not being informed enough. So in those people, we just need to inform more. And in everybody else, well, sometimes is almost an anti-vaccine faith, and we can just, I think, reinforce science, because that's the only thing we can do and address the concern that people can have. And then I think this is our best.
Now, before we wrap up our program, Dr. Salvatore, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with our audience?
I really think that the point that we were talking earlier about influenza and other diseases is really not addressed enough right now in the population. There are data that show that, for example, people can have an higher, at time, higher incidence of heart attack the week after they have a flu episode. They can have myocarditis. Say if you are an asthmatic or you have COPD, you can have a permanent damage in the airway after a severe flu. And there are even recent papers that show that influenza vaccination can really help prevent severe complication of influenza outside of influenza itself. So I think that this is a point that is really important to carry out and to have people understand that you are not only protecting yourself from the flu, you're also protecting yourself for complication of your underlying disease, mostly for people that are immunocompromised, that are older, they are pregnant at the extreme of life. Every year there are children that are healthy, they die of influenza because of refusal of influenza vaccine. Maybe not a lot, like some people think. In my opinion, one child that die of a preventable disease is a child too many. And so I think that we really need to think about this. And we know that school bring back every single respiratory virus possible. So if we can prevent influenza, I think it's a great thing.
Such important comments for us to consider as we come to the end of today's program. And I want to thank my guest, Dr. Mirella Salvatore, for joining me to discuss how we can effectively tackle myths about the flu vaccine. Dr. Salvatore, it was great having you on the program.
Thank you so much, and thanks for inviting me to speak about this very important topic.
You've been listening to Vaccination, and this episode was sponsored by CSL Seqirus. To access this and other episodes in our series, visit Vaccination on ReachMD.com, where you can be part of the knowledge. Thanks for listening.